Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. A large crowd gathered, with people from one town after another journeying to Jesus. He spoke in a parable. A sower went out to sow a seed. As he sowed, some seed fell on the path and was trampled, and the birds of the sky ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky ground. When it grew, it withered for lack of moisture. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And some seed fell on good soil, and when it grew, it produced fruit 100-fold. After saying this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." Then his disciples asked him what the meaning of the parable might be. He said, "Knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to the rest, they're made known through parables, so that they may look but not see and hear but not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those on the path are the ones who have heard, but the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no root. They believe only for a time and fall away in the time of temptation. As for the seed that fell among thorns, these are the ones who have heard, but as they go along, they're choked by the anxieties and riches and pleasures of life, and they fail to produce mature fruit. But as for the seed that fell in rich soil, they are the ones who, when they have heard the word, embrace it with a generous and good heart and bear fruit through perseverance. The Gospel of the Lord. Today, in one of Jesus' most famous and powerful parables, explains to us about the extraordinary receptivity we're supposed to have to his word and the power it can bear when we receive it well. But in the readings, we are able to get beyond it. We're able to see how, just like a seed planted in good soil germinates and grows and becomes a tree and produces fruit that contain within it other seeds that can be planted and grow elsewhere. So that's what the Lord is asking of us when we receive his word and himself as the seed inside, that we might in turn become his seeds in the world. And that's something that's supposed to occur throughout our life, but even in the way that we're buried, as St. Paul describes for us today. So Jesus tells us there are four types of sensitivity, and we really have to be cautious when we look at this, to examine regularly what our soil sample is. Not even just in general, but what's my soil sample today? How attentive am I to the Word of God today? Is what God tells us through sacred scripture, or through the liturgy of the hours, or through day-to-day events, going to have an impact, or are we just kind of going through the good motions? Stubborn. A lot of the times we've said, we've heard it before, we don't have to listen very carefully. We know these things. God wants to till that soil. Sometimes we can receive with joy, but we're looking at the level of our pleasures, whether we like something or not. We don't allow the word to go as deeply as God would like it to go, and consequently, bear no fruit. Jesus wants to jackhammer through the limestone that's underneath the initial surface of dirt. Third are the thorns that can choke the growth of the seed in otherwise good soil. Worldly anxieties and the lure of riches and the pleasures of life, Jesus says. These obviously impact how we hear the Word of God. If there's a phone ringing in the middle of a homily, it might distract us such that we're not really able to pay attention to what God is saying. Not to mention if there are worries or concerns or plans for a night in which you're going to be welcoming everybody back to this church to bring them to the source. Sometimes we can, because of good things, render ourselves less fruitful than Jesus would want for an even more important thing. But that good soil, that good and fruitful soil, shows a receptivity that changes us in manifold ways. The Word of God today is meant to change our life, not just a little, but in a big way, 30, 60, or 100 different ways or more. That's its power. And we see that power in the lives of some of the saints. When St. Anthony of the Desert goes in and hears the Word of God about selling all you have, giving it to the poor, and then coming following Jesus. And he did it. When St. Clare hears St. Francis talking about the gospel, especially total trust in God's providence, 18 years old, she left everything in order to live according to the pattern of the gospel. Many times the inspirations in prayer can have an immediate impact in us. We say yes and begin to bear fruit for the rest of our life. Or we can begin to engage it and doubt it and let it not sink. Jesus wants us to respond with that good soil, and he sends the Holy Spirit to help till it. And every day, we need to be examining ourselves on what type of soil we have given to God's interaction that day. It's a beautiful way to make our examination at the end of each day. What type of soil did I have to the seeds you were sowing all day long, Jesus? But as we know, it's not just to his words. It's to himself. Jesus sows himself. He said in St. John's Gospel, in what Pope Benedict used to call the essence of the Gospel, John 12:24, that unless one become like a grain of wheat and fall to the ground and die, he will bear no fruit. But if he dies, he will bear great fruit. And Jesus became that grain of wheat in his own person, falling to the ground and dying, and bearing extraordinary fruit. And he wants us, as he sows himself in us at Holy Communion, to learn how to sow ourselves with him. One of those parables that we heard in the 2 weeks of parables from St. Matthew's Gospel about a month ago, Jesus says that we, children of the kingdom, are the ones he sows in the middle of the world. But he doesn't sow us solo. He sows us together with him, which is where the fruitfulness comes from, because we're branches on a vine, and if we remain attached to the vine, he promises us, and his word is good, that we will bear abundant fruit. And that continues, it is meant to, all the way throughout life, until death. St. Paul, at the end of this 3.5 weeks of being blessed by what God inspired him to say to the Corinthians, today he finishes with a dramatic exclamation point. Yesterday, as we remember, there were those challenging whether the dead would rise. They said Jesus might be an exception to the resurrection. We're not going to deny that Jesus rose. But they kind of treated it the way we today treat the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in time. She's clearly an exception in her assumption until the general resurrection. And so the people in Corinth, influenced by some of the Sadduceical thoughts based on a misreading of the Pentateuch that sacred scripture doesn't say that people will rise, and the much more common Platonic notion that the soul is immortal but the body's just a temporary prison and eternal life is that liberation from the body that entraps it. Marked by both of these things, They tried to argue that there would be no resurrection of the body. And St. Paul worked with them to say, if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, our faith is totally vain. But he rose as the first fruits of all those who would rise again. And then Paul starts to take on some of the other objections. How could a body planted in the ground, eaten apart by worms, becoming fertilizer for new growth, how can that body that gets scattered through so many insects or vultures or rats, I'm sounding a little bit like St. Alphonsus Liguori here, forgive me, but how can a body that has been dispersed even in reliquaries all over the world come back as it was? And St. Paul says, you're totally mistaken. That the body that's sown has a connection to the body that's going to rise, but it's not identical. So he talks about this sowing. What you sow is not brought to life unless it dies. John 12:24. And what you sow is not the body that's to be, but a bare kernel of wheat perhaps, or some other kind. It's something on the outside. So it also is with the resurrection of the dead. Its own corruptible, dishonorable, weak, and natural. Corruptible. It is going to corrode. Dishonorable. Sometimes with so many broken down parts. Weak. Frail, especially at the end of life. But even at its most vigorous, nothing compared to the body that will come. And natural. Born. But born with original sin in this world to die. But it's going to be raised incorruptible. It's going to be raised glorious, allowing God's own glory to radiate through. It's going to be raised so powerful. It's going to be raised spiritual, so that it can be totally united with the Holy Spirit. This is what's sown, and when it's sown together with Christ, this is the way it's reaped. Often at the committals, Catholics, at cemeteries, there's such a need for catechesis because many who are coming to funerals haven't been to a church in a while. It's an incredible opportunity to be able to share the fullness of the faith. And at cemeteries in particular, this passage from St. Paul is highly useful to explain what we are doing. We're planting our loved one in the ground like a seed. And we pray that after the winter of death, the person will be raised up by God to an eternal springtime. New. That's the faith that brings us to cemeteries. That's what we do. Today, on Saturday, we remember Our Lady. And there's no one who received the seed of the Word of God with more fruitful soil than she. She received it with a good and generous heart and bore incredible fruit. She whose words to the angel were, let my whole world, let my whole life, let everything develop in accordance with what you say, with the Word of God. And it was so receptive that when God sowed himself within her, she bore him fruitfully to the light. Today, we remember what she did 174 years ago in La Salette. Talked a little bit about her on Tuesday, on the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrow. But how when Melanie Colvard, Maximin Giraud met her on that field, she was weeping over the hardness of the soil of so many of the sons and daughters that had been entrusted to her, weeping over the ways that we were not even receiving the incredible gift of her son on Sundays, weeping over the way we were not sowing ourselves with him in life. She specifically talked about not praying. We're not investing our time. We're not sowing it so that we'd be able to reap it eternally. A failure to convert, even in Lent, that God's constantly trying to sow His mercy and bear fruit in conversion and holiness. But so many are resistant. Sunday Mass, the great gift by which God not only sanctifies us, but builds up His church. And there was a profound lack of cooperation, so many. And then in some ways, the grossest of all, she was weeping over the sins of blasphemy. That so many of us, rather than loving God in our speech and in our deeds, we're actually doing the exact opposite, in cursing goodness Himself. She wept like a mother over all of this. Because rather than sowing together with her son, so many in the world were sowing the exact opposite. But as I said, she appeared there in a little shrine they had made at the top of the mountain. I wish I can really go to La Salette at some point, because it's one of the most beautiful sanctuaries in the world, up on the top of an incredible mountain. Grenoble, off of Grenoble. But if you ever have a chance to go visit the tomb of St. Francis de Sales and Saint Jean de Chantal, it's not all that far from Annecy, not all that far from Geneva. But up there where they had built that little shrine, paradise, as she wept, she gave him a message of hope in that image of the crucifix on her, where there were both the hammer and the forceps, or the pincers. Hammer, to hammer in the nails by sin, or the pincers, to be able to take out those nails. Are we going to hammer in those nails by hardened soil? Or are we going to use the pincers to take them out by allowing God to do His thing, sowing Himself in us in every way He wishes and bearing fruit through perseverance? One of the greatest ways for us to live this parable, in my opinion, sisters, is when we celebrate every Mass as if it's the last Mass we may ever attend. And we're not guaranteed Mass tomorrow. Today might be the end. If today were the end, we would really listen to these words as words to be done. We would receive Holy Communion in a way that will really change our life. And through that metamorphosis, change the whole world.